Good to see everybody out this morning. Glad you are here, fulfilling another Sunday of our duty to God. It's always a joy to be able to wake up in the morning. A lot of people didn't wake up this morning. A lot of people had plans for today that did not get a chance to see their plans through. But by God's grace and mercy and His love, He allowed us to go on. That's always a great blessing. It's good to be back with you all on a Sunday morning once again. I've been missing you. Been away, but I'm happy to be back. This morning, I'm going to talk about a subject, and I'm going to make this as a two-part lesson that I'll finish next Sunday because I don't want to rush it. It's a subject that I think maybe we are bothered with more than many other subjects, whether we admit it or not, and it's the subject of forgiveness. I want you to think just a minute. Of something that's been on your mind that someone has done to you or that someone has done to someone you love. And think about the bitterness that you may have in your heart today. If you don't find yourself in that situation, God bless you. I pray you never find yourself in that situation, but it's always a possibility that it's something that will happen in the future. How many times throughout the day do you think about that person and what they did to you or someone you love? How many times does it make you angry? How many times when you see those individuals, is it a constant reminder of the pain that they put you through, the pain that they put your family through? A couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the last time I spoke here, we talked about the huge mistake I made yesterday and how we go about going to people and asking for forgiveness and trying to heal the hurt that we caused in people's lives. And we discussed that lesson. But today, I want to look at it from the standpoint of the huge mistake they made and the hurt that they caused in our lives. And where do we go from here? And when we looked at it the first time, it was a road to being forgiven. The road to asking for forgiveness. Today is the road to forgiving. And this road to being able to forgive people is just as dark as the road to asking people for forgiveness. It's just as dark. And from personal experiences, what I found that it is taking a lot of this right here to be able to forgive, and it's patience. Patience is something I think one of the greatest qualities that you have to possess on the road to being able to forgive people. Patience is it's a quality that we need in all aspects of our lives, but especially when it comes to forgiving people, because you're going to see actions from people that you want to forgive, and these actions are going to tell you, don't forgive them. You're going to begin to kind of judge whether or not a person is worthy to be forgiven. You're going to say, well, you know, what they did to me, they don't deserve to be forgiven. And all of these things are going to be going on in your mind, and these things are going to hinder you. They possibly will hinder you from extending forgiveness to people who need forgiveness. So I've got about 7 things that I want us to look at when it comes to how to forgive people, and we'll probably look at 3 of them today and finish it next Sunday. The first thing I want you to realize that when it comes to forgiving people, if you think it's been difficult for you to be able to forgive people, just know that's normal. It's normal. It doesn't mean that you're strange, and it does not mean you don't love God. It means you are normal. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, and let's start off with some verses here. I hope you have a copy of the Bible in front of you. We're going to be looking at a lot of different contexts to try to establish our thoughts for today. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. In this context of scripture here, Jesus is talking about offenses. And his whole point is this right here. We live in a society, a community. We live in a world where people are going to offend you. That's just the way it is. People offend you when they don't even try to offend you. You do it. I do it. It's just the way the world operates. We don't mean any harm sometimes, but because there are so many different personalities in the world, we're all different. We perceive things differently. What I say to one person over here may make them laugh. I may say the same thing to a person over here, and it may hurt them, and it may make them sad. They get offended. So it's impossible that offenses are not going to come. So if someone offends you, don't think it's strange or don't think that they're strange. And Jesus is talking about this in this context. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 1, he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and if he were thrown into the sea than that you should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in one day, and he seven times in one day he returns and say, 'I repent,' forgive him." Now let's stop and look at that just for a minute. What is Jesus saying? Think about that person on your mind right now who hurt you, who hurt your family, who hurt someone that you know. And think about what they did to you. And they came to you and asked for forgiveness that morning, and you forgave them. And a couple hours later, they did the same thing to you. And they came back and asked for forgiveness, and you forgave them. And a couple hours later, they did the exact same thing. What would you start thinking in your mind about those people? You would start to say, it's intentional. They don't mean it. I'm not going to forgive them, because if they really wanted forgiveness, they wouldn't keep doing the same thing over and over again. From a human perspective, that's how we approach forgiveness. But from a godly and a spiritual perspective, Jesus says, if they do the same thing to you seven times in one day and seven times they come back and say, "I'm sorry," Jesus says, we are obligated to forgive them seven times in the same day. The only way to be able to do that is to make forgiveness about what's best for them, what's best for our relationship with God. Because if you make forgiveness about whether or not they're worthy, it's going to be difficult to forgive people who do the same thing to you over and over and over again. It is difficult to do that. It's just a human nature. And you know how I know it's difficult? Look at what the apostle says in verse 5. After Jesus told them to do this, notice what they said in verse number 5. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Being able to forgive people, y'all, requires a lot of faith. It requires strong faith. So if you have found that it's been difficult for you to forgive people who have hurt you, probably the first step in trying to forgive people is trying to strengthen the faith that you currently have in your relationship with God. And that may come from a number of things. It may come from personal study. It may come from surrounding yourself with other people who are strong, making sure that you attend the services and the Bible classes as much as possible, being involved in the Word. All of those things play together to make your faith stronger. Because it's going to take strong faith to forgive people, but to forgive people who hurt you over and over and over again. It takes strong faith, y'all, and it is not easy. Even the apostles understood that. Number two, when it comes to forgiving people, remember God's forgiveness in your own life. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And let's look at a story that Jesus told. Now, the context of this story
We're going to look at a little later on with another point. But it's about someone who offends you. Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus said, if your brother trespasses against you or sins against you, go to him and him alone and try to work out the situation. And if he doesn't hear him or hear you, take back two or three people with you. Okay? And verse 20, 19 and 20 says that at the mouth of two or three people, every word will be established. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. So after he discusses people working out problems, Peter says to him in verse 21, Peter came to him and said to him, Lord, how often though? After Jesus says, work it out, he says, how often though? If my brother sins against me, should I forgive him? And Peter says, seven times? And Jesus says to Peter, I do not say unto you seven times, but I say 70 times seven. Jesus takes it a step further in this context by saying, if someone did something to you 490 times on the same day, as Christians, we're obligated to forgive. Y'all, that's hard. Which is why the apostles told Jesus, increase our faith. And to show, I think Jesus, he told this story coming up to try to help them get a perspective about what forgiveness really is. And the story is that forgiveness is really mercy. Forgiveness is really extending something that we have received from somebody else. And if you can think back over your life, I know I can. There are times in my life where I have deserved one thing from some people and I've gotten something different. I've got something better. I didn't get what I really deserved. I got something better. And I'm sure that you all have found yourself in that situation as well. That's mercy. And so he tells a story about compassion and about mercy. Look at the story here in verse 23. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle his account with his servants. And when he had begun to settle his account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay his master, and his master commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, so that the payment might be made. And the servant fell down before his master, saying, please have patience with me, and I will repay you. Then the master of the servant, now watch this, he was moved with compassion, and he released him, and he forgave his debt. What we see in this first illustration is the only way this master was able to forgive his servant was he had compassion for this man. And what's involved in forgiveness is not necessarily what benefits us, although that plays a part in it, but what's best for them. He was getting ready to sell this man, sell his wife, sell his children. He looked at this guy. He saw this guy was broken. He saw that this guy, based upon him being broken, he knew he was in a bad situation. And because he looked at this guy's heart and saw he was in enough pain already, he had compassion. And he said, I'm not going to add any more pain to your life. I forgive you. And so he let the guy go free. This same guy goes out and finds someone else who owes him money. Look at verse number 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he begged him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you. And he would not. But he went and he threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved, and they came and told the master all that was done. And his master said, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So this master found out about this guy. The very guy he had compassion on could not show the same compassion on someone else. And he was angry and he went and got him. And he said, I showed you mercy. I showed you compassion. I had something against you and I could have held it against you. I've got the power to hold it against you, but I didn't use my power. I didn't use my authority, but yet I used my compassion and my mercy and I forgave you. You should have shown the same thing to the people who owed you, but you didn't. And now your latter end is worse than your first. And he took that guy and threw him into prison. And after Jesus told that story, notice where he closes the chapter out with as a point to his lesson. Look at verse number 35. Jesus says, so my heavenly Father also would do to each of you from his heart who does not forgive his brother his trespasses. What is his point? His point is this right here. All of us who are Christians, God has extended his grace. He has extended his mercy. He has extended his love. He has extended his compassion. And none of us in this auditorium deserved it. But he did it anyway. Because he loved us. And what Jesus is saying, if God did that for all of us, we have got to do the same thing to the people who need to be forgiven by us. And if we don't, we cannot expect to make it to heaven. Forgiveness is hard. But if we want to go to heaven, we have got to remember what God has done for us in our lives. Okay. Number three, when it comes to forgiveness, remember that you forgiving them is not just about them. Okay. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I think sometimes we wait on people to say certain things to us before we actually forgive them. So if a person does not come to us and verbally say, listen, I know what I did to you. I acknowledge what I did to you. I'm sorry for that. If they don't say that, then we're not willing to forgive. But what you got to realize is that forgiving people is not just about them. And if you wait on them to forgive them, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up carrying around bitterness that's going to destroy you more than it destroys them. How many people go to the doctor for illnesses right now that they think are related to DNA, that they think are related to foods that they eat, that they think are related to over-exercising or something like that, that are actually related to bitterness that is being harbored up in the heart? How many people that have ulcers that come and come and come because they lay on their bed at night upset, worried, and angry about something that someone did to them? Boy, I've been there. Those are some terrible nights. Those are some terrible nights. So when it comes to forgiving people, you've got to realize that this is about you having peace. And you don't have to wait on people to have that peace. In Acts chapter 7, after Stephen finished preaching, or as he was preaching to these individuals, they got so mad at him that they started throwing rocks at him. Look at verse 57. They cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was dying, y'all. He was dying, so they didn't have an opportunity to apologize. They didn't have an opportunity to say, Stephen, let us fix this situation. They didn't have an opportunity to say, man, I'm sorry. And for the first time in my life, I realized that what I did to you was wrong. They didn't have an opportunity to say that to Stephen, but Stephen did not care because Stephen knew that forgiveness was about his peace and not just about them. And so as he was dying, look at what he says in verse 60. He knelt down, he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin, and he fell asleep. Stephen's last words were not, "Lord, get them back for me." His last words were not, "Lord, did you see how they've done me?" His last words were not, "Lord, did you see how they've hurt me?" His last words as he was dying were not even based upon an apology. It had nothing to do with them. It had something to do with his peace and his relationship with Jesus. And as he was dying, he said, "Lord, please forgive them." If you want peace in your life, the peace that you need in your life begins with you saying, "God, forgive them." In Philippians chapter 4, turn your Bibles over there. We've looked at this before, but I like to look at it from time to time as a reminder. We talk about the peace that passes understanding. And you all who have listened at me, you know that I say it on a number of occasions that God does not give you this peace. He gives it to you by instruction. But he doesn't come down and do anything to your mind. For God to come change your mind and give you peace, he would have to take away your free will, because he would have to take away your emotions to be angry, your emotions to be bitter. If you want to be bitter and angry, God allows you to do that. He's not going to take that away from you. But what he does is he offers a solution through his word. And if you follow that, you can have peace. So when it comes to forgiving people, the way to have the peace that passes all understanding is to begin with forgiving them before they ever come to you. That's why Jesus could hang on the cross and say, "Father, forgive them." He didn't need an apology, because it was about him and God, and not about him and them. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Don't worry about it. Yes, it hurts. And it will hurt probably for a long time, because as you will see in a couple of my points next week, when you forgive someone, that doesn't mean you're going to forget it. So it may hurt for a long time. But we have an avenue called prayer. And through prayer, God said, "Don't be anxious. Don't you worry about anything. You let your request be made known to me." And that is, "Lord, I'm hurting, help me. But in the process of helping me, please forgive them for what they did." And if we can release that bitterness through prayer to God and asking for forgiveness for them, then we create an environment of peace where verse 7 says, "The peace of God will guard our hearts." But you've got to create that for yourself in your life. I love this quotation right here. "Forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace." Forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. And then lastly for today, remember that there must be contact with one aspect, contact with people for one aspect of forgiveness to happen. You see that triangle right there? That triangle there shows what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness has to do with three people: you, God, and them. Leg one must be completed before leg two can be completed. If you don't forgive them before God yourself, you won't forgive them when they come to you. Now, they possibly could happen at the same time. One and two can happen at the same time. It's a possibility. But one must come first before two can happen. And you have no control over three. So if you're waiting on them to ask for forgiveness before God, before you forgive them, then you'll be waiting a long time. You have no control over them and God. The only thing you have control over is one. And on the second leg, you only have control over your response to them, but not making them come to you. You don't have control over that. You can only go to them, but you can't make them ask for forgiveness or say, "I'm sorry." All right. So when we look at communicating with people, go back to Matthew 18, and we're going to close it out with this point here for today. The only way to forgive someone is contact must be made. One aspect of the forgiveness. The first aspect of the forgiveness, leg one, you don't have to make contact with them, because that's between you and God. But leg two, let's go back and look at this. Okay. Number one here, you don't need them to do that. You do that on your own. This right here, number two can never be done without contact. So if you're wanting to forgive someone, but you never make contact with the individuals you want to forgive, it will never become a reality in your life or in theirs. Look at Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. And by the way, even though in the context speaking here, he is dealing with brothers, he's not even talking about the church because he was talking about the Jewish nation. He was talking to the Jewish nation, but it was a future application that would apply to the church. Okay, he was setting the stage for how things ought to be in the body of Christ. But he was talking to the Pharisees who are following him to show them how they should be among them own selves. And I think this principle here is a principle that Christians should not only just use in the church, but we should use this in every aspect of our life when we're dealing with people. Because it works. It's just sometimes when you're dealing with people outside of the body of Christ, the last step is pointless because you can't withdraw fellowship from people who are not Christians. But look at the first principles of this context and you'll see that it's practical. Matthew 18, verse number 15. If your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. It's not about everybody else. If someone offends you, if someone has hurt you, or someone has hurt people that you love, then don't go around telling everybody else about it. Tell them about it, because that's the only way forgiveness is going to happen, if you make contact with them. Okay? If they listen to you or they hear you, you have gained them. But if they will not hear you, then take back two or three more witnesses with you, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if that person refuses to hear them, this is where it ends when you're dealing with non-Christians. This is where it continues when you're dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ of the same congregation. Tell it before the church. And if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen, as a tax collector. Now watch this. I say unto you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree. You see the word agree right there? For those of you who like studying definition of words, look that word up when you get opportunity. We get a word, our English word that comes from that word is, we get the English word symphony. The original word there is symphoneo. Look that up. I just try to sound smart. Our English word symphony comes from that. And you know what a symphony is. A symphony is where individuals come together and they harmonize. And it's beautiful. And what point Jesus is making here is this right here. The only way forgiveness can occur is for individuals to come together and sound out their differences together. And if they do that, it can have a beautiful ending. They can harmonize and relationship can be mended. But it's not possible if people don't come together and make contact. If you want forgiveness, or if you want to forgive someone, you will never ever be able to do it by always dodging them. As much as it may hurt, at some point in time, you got to make contact. Because if you don't make contact, you may be saying, well, they did it, so they should be the one. What? You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18? If your brother sins against you, he didn't say wait on him to come to apologize. He said, go to him. Why did he say you go to him? See, Jesus says the one who should be going to the person is the one who did not do the hurting. But the one who is hurt is the one who's responsible for going to that individual. Why? Because sometimes people don't even know they have hurt you as bad as they hurt you. Sometimes people don't even know they hurt you at all. Sometimes people think you have gotten over something because you hadn't brought it up in 2 years and you're still holding it. They don't even know. So if you really want to give people an opportunity to be able to say, I'm sorry, go to them and make contact with them and express it so that they would know. I would suggest sometimes if this is involving the men and women, that a lady not go to a man by herself. I would encourage you ladies never ever confront a man. But take someone with you. It's a bad idea. take someone with you. And I would encourage a man never ever to confront a woman one-on-one. But take someone with you, someone that's going to be objective. Don't take your spouse. I'm not going to take Jennifer with me to tell someone something that they did, you know, because Jennifer, as much as she is honest as she is, she loves her husband, and it's going to be very difficult for her not to side with me. If I'm dealing with a lady, I take one of you off, Sister Marilyn, Sister Wyker, Sister Carol. Take one of you all with me, someone who's going to be objective and someone who's going to be able to say, Tony, you're wrong for that. We've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We'll continue this next Sunday, but I hope these things that we talked about this morning kind of give you an idea about the few hurdles on this road that we have to get across in order to actually start forgiving people who have hurt us. If you're here today, you don't have to wait the next Sunday to receive strength. If you not being able to forgive someone has affected your relationship with God, let us help you. You don't have to be, you know, don't try to get over it by yourself. That's what you got Christian brothers and sisters for you, to help you through it, to pray with you, to hold your hand and let you know it's going to be okay. And we can help you wherever you need us to help you. If you're hurting today because of something that's happened to you, please come to the front. Express it to God. Tell God you need the strength. Let us know you need our love, and we'll be glad to help you. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, if your faith causes you to change your life and confess Christ and be baptized, we can help you with that as well. But whatever your need is, if we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand.